Thanks for tuning in to Faith Church Podcast. We're a church that believes in getting people connected, seeing families grow, and lives being changed. We hope that this message will speak to you today. It was all in our hearts, and I believe you're going to love it. Let's get to it.
I want to talk to you today about transition. Everybody shout transition.
Transition.
Everybody at some point today is in some kind of transition. You're transitioning all the time. When you transition out of your mother's womb and you get there and the doctor slapped you to get you aggravated right out the gate. How many of y'all know that's part of the reason why you're mad today is you got slapped right out the gate. And then you transition from being a boy into what they call puberty, right? And you're not quite a man yet, but you're not quite a boy yet. Half for girls, guys, everything. You transition all through life, and then you hit menopause. Come on, somebody ought to help me right now. Menopause stands for men pause, right? And we go through menopause. Men have it too, right? So we go through transitions. You get on an airplane. If you want to go from here in St. Louis today to another city, you immediately get on, and they start talking about the transition. They say, hey, you know, you're on Southwest Airlines. Make sure your tray is in the full and upright position. Here's how the seat belts work. Exits here, here, and here. Make sure your tray is on up. Make sure your seat is up. Also, they say, you know, your seat can be used as a flotation device. You know, man, we're just going from here to Kansas City. I want to know if it'll bounce in a cornfield. Come on, somebody, help me right now. So they're talking about transition. Everybody shout transition.
Transition.
Shout it again. Come on, Ferguson,
transition.
We know that St. Paul, who wrote two-thirds of the New Testament, he once was the artist known as Saul. God was dealing with him, knocked him off his horse, hit him so hard it knocked the S off and put a P on it, and he became Paul. We know that he had transition. We know that Jacob wrestled with God and had transition. We know transition happens. Look at your neighbor and say, transition happens. So when we're going through this transition, how we exit one season is how we're going to enter the next one. So you're wanting to be better, but if you enter out of the last season bitter, next thing you know is you'll go right into that next relationship bitter. That's why you see that 50% of all marriages end in divorce. By the way, all divorce is caused by marriage. Come on, somebody help me. But they're also the rate increases on divorce the second and the third time, most of the time because we're not dealing with the real issue. The root is where we get the fruit. The root is where we get the fruit. We know that Jesus transitioned. We see this on the cross, that Jesus actually transitions from heaven to earth to redeem mankind. He does his earthly ministry. Then he transcends into the depths of hell, defeats the devil in his own hometown. Come on, somebody. Takes back from him the keys to death, the hell, and the grave. Transitions to earth. Mary sees him and shouts out that Hosanna is here. And God said, hey, don't touch me. Jesus says, I need to go prepare a place for you. Where I'm going, you're going to go. See, he transitions from here, from the earth realm, to heaven. We know that he's still in a state of transition because he's coming back to get us. Come on, somebody. So there's a transition. Everybody shout it again, transition. Now the issue is a lot of times in life we fail to successfully transition to the next level. Every new level comes with a new devil. Now transition is exciting. We go from glory to glory, faith to faith, victory to victory. I love transition. But on the other side of the coin, when you flip it, I hate transition. Because that means the people that can't grow with you can't go with you. So people that you thought were going to be with you forever, they actually leave and they actually say their season is done with you. Come on, help me right now. This is what religious people do. People in the world get a job. They get on Monster to find a better job immediately. People in the church world, they say, God's leading me because they don't say I got offended. I'm insubordinate. I won't grow. They say, God's leading me into my new season. Come on, somebody help me. Just so you know, if you're new, that's Christianese. But if you hear that, that's what that means, all right? So Joshua chapter 1, verse 1, it says, after the death of Moses, that's a transition. After the death of Moses, he was a servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the new kid in town, his assistant. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan. And I want to emphasize this Jordan, and I want you to say it with me, class. Why? This Jordan. In other words, there's going to be a multitude of Jordans. There's not just one. Of course, we know that God called Moses to lead the children of Israel to this promised land. Through disobedience, he didn't get to go, but his predecessor got to go and lead them to the other side. But he said, hey, after the death of Moses, there's a transition, but now I'm using you to transition well and transition these people over this Jordan. Now, in life, there's going to be a series of Jordans. There's going to be the divorce, the betrayal, the bankruptcy, the heartache, all this stuff, the pain, the drama. And what we've got to make sure is that we're transitioning through these dilemmas and saying, hang on a minute, I'm not going to allow the past to dictate my future. I'm going to deal with the pain and say, you know what? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I know that God works all things together for my good. I don't feel like I'm transitioning well, but I'm going to transition well in the name of Jesus. Now, transition is hard because God deals with you. Now, I can spot people in a New York second. I'm a professional preacher. It's what I do. I'm going to give you five P's. It's powerful. It's unbelievable. You're going to absolutely love this. What I do for a living. So when I read the Bible, I read the Bible for sermons. I don't oftentimes deal with me. Then God will like have me read the Bible for an hour or two, and I think, man, I got the sermon all wiped out. This is incredible. People need this. And I'm thinking of the 27 people that need it. And the Lord says, I don't want you to preach it. It was for you. And I'm like, what? This was for me? Yeah. Because he doesn't want for me to actually just professionally preach the Bible. He wants me not to take the context and be conned by the text. He's saying, David, I'm looking at you and I need you to deal with you because this Jordan that you need right now, this is a new level. And at this new level, there needs to be new obedience, new humility, new honor, new... Come on, somebody help me right now. Come on, Ferguson, I hope you're doing better. I should have came there. Come on, help me right now. And I would have. But we were running late. There's a lot of cops on the highway today. We ran for two or three of them on the way here. Now, transition is the ability to say, I'm gonna know that God's gonna do this new thing, but I can't be the old me and still have all the rules, you know, of the old me and possess the new territory, new land. Now I'm gonna throw myself under the bus a couple times today. Pretty bad. It's gonna disappoint you. But you got to respect me at the end of this in Jesus' name because the Bible said you had to. Come on. But I'm still dealing with me, and me is the biggest problem that I've got. Every day in the mirror, I look at me and I go, man, you got to change. And so sometimes I get mad at people, but I'm really not mad at when I distill it down. I'm not mad at them. I'm mad at me, and I'm responding at them because I'm mad at me. And I'm not just mad at me about this. I got a whole list of stuff back up in here. Come on, help me right now. And so I'm just aggravated. So about a month ago, we pastor here and in Florida. So we have a church like this in Florida, two of them. And we've lived in this condo for 6 years. And I like to ride this bicycle. And Scott gave me this really nice bike. And so I love to go out and just pray, listen to the word, and seek God on the bicycle. But you're not, I didn't know this, but you're not supposed to take the bicycle through the lobby. You're supposed to go through the freight elevator in the back. I didn't know this. I just went through there months ago. When I did, this guy, the front desk receptionist, he starts yelling at me at a full-on, I mean, insane. You can't go through here. You cannot take that through here. You better stop it right now. Don't you know? And I'm like, wow. And so the problem was, I was hearing curse words in my head to say to him, I know I disappoint you. But I didn't say it. How many of y'all know, you know, as a pastor, you can't say that because somebody in there going to YouTube it, put it, I'll be on the news tonight, but I'm still hearing it. Can I get a witness up in here? Okay, so I'm still a Christian. I love the Lord, but I'm renewing my mind. But my mind, I don't know if it's all the movies Nicole makes me watch or whatever, but I'll be hearing stuff. Anybody hear what I'm talking about? So I passed it, but then I'm taking the bike ride. While I'm riding the bike, I could hear the Lord say, trying to talk, but I was trying to tell me, hey, forgive that guy, move on. But I've taken that joker with me on the bike ride. I can't even hear God, who's who I need to hear, because I'm so mad at this guy. I can't stand this guy. I'm even thinking right now, while God's trying to talk to me, I'm like, you know what? It's not just the guy. We wrestle not against the flesh and blood. There's a demon on that guy. My anointing is agitating his devil, when in reality, I'm breaking the rules. Come on, help me right now. So everything goes fine. Leave it alone. I'm sad to tell you, but this Friday, the freight elevator's broken. On the one side, there's only one, and they're moving people in. Plus, there's Amazon boxes stacked up everywhere. You can't even get through the thing. So I think, you know, the dude probably isn't there. I'm just going to slide this bike through here. But while I'm sliding the bike through there, in my mind, I'm like, okay, if he is there, he's a dog barking. I'm going to walk in love. I'm not paying any attention. So I go through, and man, if he ain't working again today. So I'm walking through. I got my ear pods on. I'm walking through, and he goes full-on ballistic. Which is only making him madder because I ain't even seeing you. Come on, somebody, I'm just pushing the bike all the way through. Got out through the hallway, and I told the Lord, I said, aren't you proud of me? I didn't say anything. I didn't even hear cuss words because I'm honest with God because he knows my thoughts. So I'm like, you know, I did good. You proud? And he goes, no, because you knew you're not supposed to go through that lobby.
he's right, you're wrong. And I'm like, listen, dude, he has never planted a church for you. Every Sunday, come on, somebody, I planted a church. I got churches in India. I got ambulances running around in third world countries. Girls are rescued from sex trafficking. This guy ain't done, Jack. Don't forget. Lord, I'm not here talking about him. I'm talking about you. Come on, Ferguson, right now. He said, I'm talking about you. I'm like, hey, listen, I'm kind of worn out talking about me. He said, David, if you want to cross that next promised land, if you want to maximize the banner year of 2020, if you want to see the supernatural opportunity, then you got to obey me here. If you want that, then you got to do this. And then, honestly, I thought, I'm not sure I want it that bad. Because how many of y'all can handle me being honest? I've already told you I was cussing in my head, not verbally, but mentally. I said, I don't know, comfortable. I got more churches than I keep up with now. Football fields, a parking lot, all these air conditioners I got to think about. Plus, you got to con people into coming to church. If you come to church, we'll give free coffee, wash your car, and give you a back rub. You know, you get kind of sick of it after a while. You're like, you need me to tell you what you need to do according to the word, and I got to try to coerce you. You go kiss the Stanley Cup thing all day long, wait in line, go to Busch Stadium and watch it in an empty stadium, go to the Blues game, yeah! But you're like, I ain't going to Ferguson. I'm watching him on live stream. I hope you enjoy yourself today. I'm just telling you, this all going on. So you wonder why. So the guy in the lobby ain't making me mad. All kinds of stuff making me mad. Anybody up in here got what I'm talking about? I'm all fine with the Blues Cup. I'm all fine with the prize of the Blues. But I'm telling you, I'm aiming for a higher prize, so I'm offended when everybody else is surprised that I'd be aggravated that you love that more than you love this. Somebody ought to help me right now. I want to change the world. I want to help people get free. Stanley Cup ain't going to heal your marriage. Stanley Cup ain't going to pay your bills. We won. What you win? You paid $200 for a seat, $19 for a hot dog, $75 for a drink, and you won? You won what? I didn't mean it. Yes, I did. I hope you know I'm joking. There's a balance to it all. So now, I'm like, okay, cool. It's good. So I'm thinking, and I know at the end of the day, God, I got to obey you. I want that. I'm gonna pass this test. Pass this test. Then yesterday, I'm checking my email. Anybody ever see somebody looking at a phone and they're like, anybody? Anybody ever seen this? They're looking at somebody and say, you're so cute today. You got different. You can see people are going through emotional things while they're. I started reading it, and I get an email from the head honcho of the condo association who starts it. By the way, he's the fifth one we've had in 6 years. They rotate through there. So he says to me, dear Mr. Crank, I do not understand what you do not understand about the rules of the condo association. Now, automatically, my dander's going up. My flesh is going crazy. I'm already responding to point one. I got a bullet point for two. And he goes through the whole thing, and I'm just like, I can't wait to tell him, if you guys would run the organization like it should be run, then somebody would call and keep the stupid elevators working. But since you can't do that, and you guys have 1,500 Amazon boxes packed up, I could actually go down there and trip over it, which I might do to sue you, because that's what could happen for a workman's comp plan. And the last thing I want to do is keep paying these dues every month for you guys to keep salary sucking all the money out. Then you guys have alcohol parties on the pool saying, why don't all the people come just so you can get drunk with your buddies? That's what I want to say. And I thought, that's what I'm saying. And the Lord said, here's what you need to do. You need to respond back to that email and say, you're wrong, you're sorry, and it won't happen again. And I said, I can't do that. Now, what I can do for you is I cannot respond. And if I don't respond, that's good for you. It's good for the church. Anybody like an honest preacher? I'm not up here lying to you today. This is a non-genetically modified gospel. If you don't like it, I'm sorry. Go to the place where the preacher says, once you come to church and be like me, I'm perfect. I'm awesome. I don't have it together. I don't fight with my wife. He's a liar. If two people are living in the house together, be suspect. This joker is lying. People fight. I had a fight with my wife last night. Come on, son. I had a fight. I fight all the time. He's lying. Always preaching about it. You shouldn't meet a woman. Why don't you not do this? And why don't you do that? I'm saying, so, Nicole, be careful. That dude's preaching out of the abundance of heart. He's talking about women too much. I'll be talking about Girl Scout cookies all the time. Come on, somebody. You know what my deal is. So I said, I can't do that. But I cannot respond. But then down in my heart, I know I'm being disobedient. So all last night, I'm thinking, you need to go back, David. You need to look in your deleted emails. You need to do what the Lord told you to do. I said, man, I can't do that, especially after Saturday night. It was a horror service. I'll do it tomorrow, today, all day, every service.
I can hear him go back and look at deleted emails. So I keep saying, I'm busy. I got a lot of stuff going on right now. I got time to Instagram Live. I got time to respond back to you on Instagram. I got time to look at Facebook. Come on, somebody. But I ain't got time right now. Why do I feel like I'm alone right now? I got a feeling right now. I hear the psalmist, the great psalmist Michael Jackson right now. I am not alone. You are here with me. I just took my stuff publicly, and I'm admitting it and honestly.
You the problem. I'm the problem. So today, before I go to bed, I'm going to have to dig that email out and do what the Lord told me to do. You know why? Because my life isn't my own. I bought with a price. I shouldn't get to do this job. I shouldn't get to be your pastor. I shouldn't get all the blessings of the Lord. But soon your pride gets you so high that you're like, I don't even have to do that. And God's like, listen, I don't want to hold you back. And I'll never try to hurt you, son. But I'm just telling you, if you will die to yourself and say, not my will, but your will be done. And just don't take the bike to the lobby. Come on, somebody. And by the way, you got a bike. Somebody gave me a $3,000 bike. I did not buy it. Hear me yelling. I did not buy a $3,000 bike. I did not steal a $3,000 bike. I was given a $3,000 bike. I don't know where that guy got the bike. Come on, somebody. But I'm blessed to have a bike. So soon, so fast, God's saying, hey, I'm commissioning you to go to the next level. But after the death of Moses, the will of God is done. But what if Moses would have died to himself? Then he could have actually said, you know what? I'm not going to smite that rock. I'm going to obey you, God, with my whole heart. I'm going to use my life to change somebody's life. I'm going to submit to authority. Somebody ought to help me right now. I'm going to do the will of God, Ferguson. I'm going to see the banner year of 2020 be supernatural outpouring of the Holy Ghost in my life. Get out of my way, pride. Get out of my way, skepticism. I give you 10 seconds to praise him. Come on, somebody, praise him. Come on, you can do better than that. Praise him, praise him, praise him, praise him. Praise him, praise him. Now, verse 5 says, if you do that, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. And I love that word. He will never leave me until he's with me when I'm like, would you shut up today? I want you to protect me, but shh. I don't need to be telling people they're sorry. He's sorry. I'm going to try it over here. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I will be with you. I'll never leave you or forsake you. Verse 6, be strong and of good courage, for this people shall divide an inheritance in the land in the banner year, as I swore unto your fathers. Here's your job again. Only be strong, David, very courageous, that you may observe to do all of the law of Moses, the servant commanded you. Do not turn to the right or the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. In other words, watch what you're saying. And if you meditate on me day and night, then it'll be more, better stuff will come out of your mouth. Check this out. Watch, you're going to see you six times. That you, there you are one time, may observe to do according to all that is written. For then you, two times, will make your way prosperous. Notice God's not doing it. And then you, three times, you will have good success. Have not I commanded you to be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you will go. So there's a real common denominator in these two verses, and it's all about you. You and me are the ones that are holding back the promise, the provision, the possessing the land. Everything God wants to do in your life that you want to see on the outside first starts on the inside. When my dad died on a Saturday, I went to the church on a Sunday. While I was in this transition mode, I was hurting myself. I lost my best friend, 56 years old. I'm dying on the inside. But I'm telling everybody, you're going to be okay. Here's what God does, and I'm dying a thousand deaths on the inside. While this transition is happening, then Sunday night I went back. We had church on Sunday night. It's back when we loved Jesus. And I preached this text that Moses is dead. In other words, I said, I'm going to honor God, my Heavenly Father,
by also honoring my earthly father. And I'm going to just see how much damage we can do to hell, how many churches we can start, how much life we change can happen based on positioning myself with a posture to say, God, I want to obey you. That's easier said than done. And then the church began to grow and grow. And then one day it came in my heart to buy this building. This building was insurmountable to me. When I asked him how much is the electric bill, they said, it's north of $20,000 a month. And I'm like, oh my God, I look like Elvis Presley. If I'd had the devil between my legs, I would beat him to death. I'm just, oh, $20,000 a month? Yeah, and the taxes are $700 a day. $700 every day, you got to write a check for the taxes on the bill. Oh, it's insurmountable to me, but I could hear inside God say, if you will position yourself, I will put my anointing on you, and I will give the provision so you can live out the purpose that I have for your life. And I was so scared, but I did it afraid. But when I was afraid and we were $300 a week away from going broke as a church, we rolled the dice. I'm talking $300 away from losing everything every week. It put me in a posture like this. I would have said quicker, I'm sorry, I'm not going through the lobby. But then the church gets big and money gets bigger and your ego gets bigger and stupid stuff happens. And I want to go back to that point to where whenever he says jump, I say, hey, how high? I'm just glad to be here. I never want to forget, come on somebody, where Jesus brought me from. I want to position ourselves coming into September in the banner year of Jubilee to have 16 months of heaven on earth. Come on somebody, where debts are canceled, where blind eyes are healed, where more girls come out of wheelchairs, where more feeding tubes are pulled out, where people that were on drugs and bound by alcohol and opioids and all manner of disease, they will be delivered not by my works, but by the works of the Holy Spirit, because we only have so much time till Jesus transitions. Come on. And he's going to come down through the clouds on a white stallion, and he's going to have a vest on and a sword coming out of his mouth that says faithful and true. That's who I want to live for. That's who I want to preach for. That's who I want to work for. And whatever he wants me to do, that's what I want to do. If it makes people mad or it makes them glad, I want to obey God, get myself in a posture and a position to have power and progress, because these are our banners. Years. I don't know how many days we have left, but let's make them extraordinary. Come on, somebody. Come on, give him praise today. We love you, Lord. We dedicate our life to you. We praise you, Jesus. You can be seated with the rest of those people who don't like to do squats. Obeying the Lord is everything. Now let's talk about, that was pride. All those things were pride. My pride. Pride's got to go. He who humbles himself in the sight of the Lord, that's who God elevates. And so now let's talk about strife. Strife is really about fighting. But it happens real small. You don't know it. So yesterday at our house, I have a wife who's approaching 50, and I have a daughter who's 15. You got two girls living in the house. I love both of them dearly. I loved the one so much that we actually produced the other one, if you know what I mean. So there's always these fights happening. The rule is at the house is that Nicole wants to stay cool. She doesn't know what cool is. Ashton's full on cool. She's just real cool. So she has to do all the shopping for Nicole to find out what the clothes are. The issue is they wear the same size. So the deal is that when she buys clothes that are really cool, she would want to wear them. But the rule is you cannot wear the clothes, Mama says, until I wear them. Until I'm seen on television that they're my clothes, you can't touch those clothes. That's the rule on that. You understand? That's just the rule. Now, this is a problem, because now there's this little thing going on to where Ashton's not quite a woman, but she's not quite a girl, and Nicole needs to know how to transition between the two. And the real dilemma is me, because I'm in the middle of both of them. So now I'm like, ah. So yesterday, this huge fight starts grounding more and more and more and more, and I can hear it escalating in the bathroom, and I'm like, oh, God, let me go. I need to go right now. If I can sneak out the front door and go to the gym and not answer my phone, then I'll be fine. So I'm trying to sneak out the door, and now it's escalated to the point, and they're kind of yelling at each other pretty loud, so I thought, man, now's the time to go. So the door, they don't even hear the door click, you know what I'm saying? And so as soon as I open the door, she says, David, get in here! And I'm like, dang it. Almost got out of it. She said, your daughter. Notice it's my daughter. Come on, somebody. So now, the night before when she was singing and awesome, she's like, I'm so proud of my daughter. Sometimes it's my daughter. Sometimes it's our daughter. Sometimes it's your daughter. Anybody know what I'm talking about right now? Your daughter, she won't listen to me. She won't. And I'm like, oh, man, what do I do? Because Ashton's technically right. Because Ashton says, Mom, you got such a double standard because you're wanting to wear my outfit to the Shine Conference, and that's my outfit, and I've never worn it before, people, and you're doing the very thing that you tell me not to do. And Nicole's like, I bought you that outfit. I live in this house. I'm a woman of God. I got to preach to people. You know what I'm saying? And I'm looking at this like a tennis game. Praying right now under my breath. Lord, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God and give it to all men liberally. Lord, let me figure this out because I love my daughter and she's writing and those aren't her pants. So I start out by saying, you both are so pretty. Look at you. I don't even know why you're putting on makeup. See, they're transforming it. Now they're putting their makeup on, putting their weave in. Come on, they're putting Spanx on. They're doing, there's a transitioning happening. I said, I don't even know why you do that. Look at you too. And she's like, still both of them are. And eventually, I have to try in the most diplomatic way. Because the strife has to go. Because we've went past mom-daughter relationship. We full-on petty. But you can't say you full-on petty. Because that's not smart. So I'm diplomatically trying to figure out. This is a very difficult scenario, Nicole, when you're trying to allow Ashton to be, you know, your stylist, and sometimes, you know, people buy stuff, and then what she's doing is exactly kind of what you're doing. You could tell Nicole, I could see, like, the speech that was going to happen after she was gone. See what I'm saying right now? I'm like, oh, no. She's like, she's going to tell me, whose side are you wrong? We have a united front, but if you're wrong, you're wrong. So I'm sitting here going, man, what am I going to do? I'm talking right now transitioning with your kids. If you want your kids to stay with you, you can't continue to treat her like she's 12. You got to understand she's going to grow up. You got to understand my son now is 29. He was 7. I used to carry him and throw him on the bed. I can't anymore. He's 6'3", 240 pounds. He changed. Come on, somebody. So if I don't change, he's got to change positions. He can't work with me because he thinks he's working for me because I never allowed him to become who he needed to be. I'm talking right now on how to fix your marriage, how to fix your mind, how to fix your money, and how to fix your life. You gotta back up and say, I'm out of control. So I did the best I could with it. Seemed to work. But here's what I want you to do is understand, when you get in strife, when you're in pride, those open the door to the devil. If I don't send that email to that guy, God's going to do all he can to protect me. But if I jump off of here, guess what's going to happen? No matter how much I love God, no matter how much I preach for him today, I'm still going to fall because there's a law called what goes up must go down. It's a law of gravity. So if you disobey the laws of nature, the laws of man, the laws of God, you're out from under the protection of God's power. And so therefore we can't make the progress that we need to make because we simply are disobeying God's general direction. So we're like, God, give me specific direction. Come on, God. God, give me specific direction. I need to know where my Boaz is, God. God, I thank you that I know I'm led, God. Oh, the footsteps of the righteous woman are the order of the Lord. My Boaz is coming, God. I don't know what's going on. But I married the first guy and it was a broke ass and a dumb ass and a stupid ass. But God, I'm praying for Boaz. Come on, somebody. God, where is he? Bring him into my life, God. You got to help me. I don't get to cuss much, but I said ass. See what I'm saying? I said ass. Go help me right now. I said ass. But you're asking for God to give you what you need. And God's saying, hey, I can't give you what you need until you give me you. And if you give me you and allow me to do the work on the inside of you, you will come out at the end complete, entire, wanting nothing. And then you will be blessed coming in. Come on, somebody. Then you will be blessed going out, Ferguson. Then everything your hand touches turns to good. That's what God wants, for us to die so we can live. 53 seconds away from where I'm supposed to close. Of course, we know that's not going to happen because it's a 12:30 service. And I'll keep going until I get so hungry I can't keep on going. So if you're new here, this is not the service you want to go to if you thought it was going to be. You got all that. You got everything. Everything I shouldn't say, you guys get it. Because when you got extra time, you say stuff you shouldn't say. How many of y'all like the deleted scenes of a movie? Come on. You ever been watching a movie and then you're like, you're walking out and then you're like, you know, look at Tyler Perry doing that. What are you doing again? Are you doing that? It's deleted scenes. Look at your neighbor and say, these are deleted scenes. So, as the head of the house, men, we have to say, I love you. I want to work through this. Be as diplomatic as you can. But you got to say, the servant of the Lord must not strive. Because when you're in strife and you're not in love, then you're not positioning your family to go forth with divine protection. What I mean is, in what I do, all the time, people are jacking with us. I got jumped in the gym about 2 weeks ago by three different dudes. Just a demon on people. There's a sexual predator that just went to jail for multiple counts of child porn and multiple counts of molestation out on the street, and had a letter on the 17th day of this month, 17 months ago. I touched Ashton on the shoulder and said, "You look great in that." 4 weeks after that, I looked at that, and he was just on her trying to take her away. And so we're always got to have protection. People come into our house. There's a lot of stuff that you don't know. When you go public with your purpose, you got to make sure that you have the divine protection on your life. So God's going, I'm not trying to get you to humiliate yourself by sending the email. Come on, somebody. I'm trying to get you to obey me, because where I'm taking you, you need what security can't give you, because I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. Who am I talking to right now? God's got big plans for you. You're going to start that business. Come on, Ferguson. You're going to have that marriage. You're going to get out of debt. You're going to lose the weight. You're going to make the progress. But first, we've got to make sure our position's right. Look at your neighbor and say, he's preaching today. He's preaching right now. Passover. Verse 10, one more time. It says, then Joshua commanded the officers of the people. Commanded, it's a strong word. Nobody likes to be commanded. Commanded the people, saying, pass through the camp and command the people. There's that word again, command. Prepare your provisions to possess. May I tell you that you got to have... to have authority, you got to be under authority. Story of the Bible where there was a servant that needed healing, and his master came to Jesus and said, my servant's dying. Jesus said, well, I'll come to your house. He said, you don't need to come to my house. Speak the word only, and she will be healed, because I am a man of authority, and I have authority, so I understand authority. I tell one go, and he goes, and one come, and he comes. I'm under authority. He understood authority. And I'm telling you, here's something that's missing from a lot of people's lives. They got authority issues. You've got to be able to submit somewhere. And submission isn't submission until somebody tells you to do something you don't want to do. I'm submitted. I'm a submitted wife. Selectively. I'm submitted to God. I'm his wife. First time I got married, I was the groom. The second time I'm getting married, the second coming of the Lamb, I'll be the bride. Come on, somebody. So I got to understand that I got to submit to him. And whatever he tells me to do, I got to do it whether I like it or I don't like it. Now, we're going to do it his way. Trust me. And that's the thing when you get 50. I'll be 50 in September the 9th. Please write that down. And I like Starbucks cards, right? So at 50 years old, half of 100, here's what I figured out. I'm going to have to obey him. I can obey him while I still have everything intact, or I can obey him after the devil's done gnawing my leg off. So I would rather obey it and go, hey, I don't want to do that. There's a lot of things I'd love to do in life. A lot of things that I want to do. Places I want to go. People I want to, things I want to say. Even in my own life, we were offered an insane amount of money to do a show every day behind Steve Harvey. I'm talking every day, TV, talk show, made perfect sense to me. That Hollywood's going to pay for us to fix people's problems, me and Nicole, an insane amount of money. We can still produce those shows every week and still preach here. We can do it. And I'm like, yeah, sounds great to me. Let's do it. And the Lord said, no, I don't want you to do it. And I'm like, really? Let me tell you why we need to do this. I could be famous. Everybody's going to know my name. I was just over at, in Italy, and I saw Steve's yacht. That looked pretty good. You know what I'm saying? I could have that, and I get to do this. This is my blessing, God. You said the wealth of the sinner be laid up for the just. You got to understand, this is you. Come on, somebody. And he said, no, it's not. What I want you to do is go buy 17 acres of land in Ferguson and build a church. And I'm like... okay. All right. So now all I have is a great story to tell my friends. And many of them know the deals. And they're like, how'd you turn that down? I turned it down because I know God's right. And I could go do that, and maybe it'd be acceptable, maybe it wouldn't. But being in the perfect will of God, Romans 12 and 2 says there's the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. So it might be good. It might be acceptable. But is it perfect?
And the perfect will of God is where me and Nicole stay married. That's the end. I want to stay married to her. I say, if you leave me, you can never leave me because I'm going to go with you, right? So I got my kids with me, my life with me. I pastored such a great church, and it was my honor to go start that church. I wanted to do it, and I thought I could do both, and maybe I could have. But God said, no, I'm going to do what I want to do with you, and I want you solely and wholly backed by me, preaching the gospel. I didn't call you to that. I called you to this. Come on, somebody ought to say amen. So that leads me to the point. I'm going to give you five P's. Position is everything. So for 35 years, I submitted to my dad. I was under his covering, did what he told me to do. I was under his position. Then it allowed me to fulfill my purpose. So number one is position. Everybody shout position.
Position.
The second P is purpose. Everybody shout purpose.
Purpose.
Shout, I will live out my purpose.
I will live out my purpose.
Then the third P is protection. If you're not in position, if you're not in that position, if you're not living out your purpose, you won't have the protection you want. Then you have, the next P is power. You have power with God. You have influence with man. Supernatural things happen in your life. And then the last P is you make progress. But you will not make progress. You will not have power. You will not have protection. You will not fulfill your purpose if you're not in position right. Well, I don't want to teach a class in church. I don't want to serve in there. I want a YouTube channel. I want people to subscribe to my page. I want to be famous. I want to be known. I never set out to be known. I set out to let Jesus be known. And he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw men unto me. So where I started out was I just wanted to help people. And where I want to end is I just want to help people. And if somebody knows me, great. If I have money, great. If I don't have money, great. And I don't need a lot. My house is little. I live in a condo where people boss me around like an old folks association. Come on, somebody right now. I could live way better, but I couldn't do what I wanted to do and put more money into the ministry. Every year, there's a separate compensation board that sets the compensation for the pastor of the church. We're not in it. We have nothing to do with it. And every year, when they say, this is how much it says by all the studies of what you should make, me and Nicole slide 50% right back, and we give away 50% of our income off the top. We could take that, and I'm not saying it's noble. It's just where our heart is. If we could actually use more money to buy more television time, if we could use more money to build billboards, if we could have more money to build churches, then we've got everything we need, as long as you send me my Starbucks card on my birthday, I will be fine. Come on, give it up for God today. We're almost done. Raise your hand if this is speaking to you right now. This, by the way, if you didn't know, is not a sermon. This is a word from God to you. It's God's word to you. This is prophetic. You'll get on this and you'll make these tweaks. Small tweaks lead to big peace. I'm almost done. Every other Tuesday for about a year and a half or 2 years, I didn't preach, which was good for my health. And as you create this content, as soon as you're done with creating content, it takes a lot to do this. It probably took me about 40 hours to build this sermon, and then you reduce it down, and you get all your P's and all your progress and your power and all this stuff. You're distilling it down, and then when you're done, Tuesday comes right. You know, you get staff meetings on Monday and work on Tuesday, and you got to come right back with Tuesday. So it was pretty good. But then one day, about a year ago, the Lord spoke to me in Florida, because we have a church there, two of them. He spoke to me and said, I want you to start going down to your office and preaching on Tuesday night to the Dream Teamers in West Palm. So I told Nicole, she said, I don't think it's a good idea. And so I just really feel like it's the Lord, I'm going to do it. So there was like this credenza receptionist office at this office that we leased. And there was like an office over here that was glass so you could see in it. And there was an office over here that was glass, and there's a long hallway. So we just told the Dream Teamers of West Palm, if you come on Tuesday night, I'll preach. So I'd get there every Tuesday night, and I would start preaching like the place was on fire. And there's like about 50 or 75 people there, right? And I'm behind the credenza. They put like a little box, and I'd stand on the box so I was higher. And people over here, and then there's 30 or 40 people in the hallway. They can't even see me, but I could hear them like, yeah, preach it, come on. And so we're having church, and we would stream the worship from Tuesday night from Sunset Hills. We would stream it on like this screen. So on the screen, they would come in, they would be singing. Then there would be visitors. Sometimes they'd bring friends. And my pride would tell me, because they would come up and say, good boy, good job. Where are you from again? What do you do? What, you know, why don't you have a building? Look what we do. We have a building. It seats 850. You know, we at a school, two services. And that's my church right there. See all that worship going on? I built that church. That's my church. And God's like, you don't need to tell them that. Just tell them, yeah. I'm like, but they need to know. Because these people are potentially people that can help us do what we need to do. And I need to cast vision. God, without vision, people perish. Without vision, people go to another parish. God's like, no, it's pride. Don't mention it. So I'd go a couple weeks, and I'm preaching up there, and I'd be like, man, there's like four new people. And I'd be like, I really need them to know. So I'd text St. Louis and go, you guys need to shout out West Palm. You need to be like, come on, West Palm. Come on, West Palm. If you don't mind, just say, we're glad to have PD tonight, just so people know. talk about my pride right now. This is really hard on me. So at least smile at me right now, because I feel like you're like, man, I don't even know if I go to this church anymore. I don't know. He's just cussing. He's in his wife's pants. Okay, so I'm like, then they would inadvertently screw it up. They'd be like, yeah, West Palm. Wouldn't say me. I'm like, and then people would be like, so that's your, is that a video you're playing? No, it's streaming from my church in St. Louis. That's your church? I don't understand. That's a church that you guys partner with? I'm like, no, I built that church. My pride, God's like, nope. You didn't build the church. I built the church. It's not you. And I'm like, man. He said, you want out of this office or not? You should see that guy over there? Yeah. It's a young dude from the Bahamas. He's got on these real nasty tennis shoes. And the Lord says, put him up on that counter right now and wash his feet. So I said, can somebody in the long hallway in the back go to the kitchen, see if you can find me a big pan, fill it full of water? Brought it up, took his shoes off, got down, washed his feet. Nobody's looking. There's no cameras. And God's like, there it is. Something broke. The guy's name's Andre. He's actually one of our great dream teamers now. He's amazing. But that was a moment. And there was a guy in the building that I didn't know. Watch God position you to help your purpose be propelled with progress. The guy at the end says, man, I never seen anything like that in my life. I just started going to your church. I actually saw you on Facebook. Spoke right to me. I own the biggest, you know, trash company in South Florida. I'm like, I'm listening. He said, I go to your church on the weekends, and it's so big they're here in Florida. I knew you couldn't use this building, but now that I see what you're doing, you could use this building. I had to buy some property, and I bought in a very influential area. I bought this church, and it seats 120 in one building and 150 with like an overflow, and it's got 13,000 square feet of offices, and I paid a couple million for it, and I'm going to spend $1 million to fix it up, but if I gave it to you, would you want it? And I go, oh my gosh. You're kidding me. Watch this. By me putting myself in that position of pastoring just a few people, we had $3 million building. Come on, somebody. Given to the ministry. They put in HD equipment. The LED screens just like that. That's $150,000, by the way. And now I can preach from South Florida straight to the church in St. Louis. And now everybody knows. Now they go, oh, look. Yeah, you're the pastor of that and this. And now I don't care. See what I'm saying? So when you position yourself with a posture that if you're faithful over the little, I'm going to shout it again. If you're faithful over a Bobo car right now, if you're faithful over a cray-cray husband that doesn't bring anything to the table, if you're faithful right now to that low-paying job, sorry, I'll be back off. You got blessed and baptized. You baptized in the name of Jesus. She's on the front row like, you're faithful over the little, you rule over the much. So here's a couple questions I have for you today and in Ferguson, maybe on television. Do you want to make progress? Raise your hand. Do you want to live out your purpose and dreams? Yes. Destiny? You want power with God? Yes. That's what I really want. When I walk down the street and I see people that are in wheelchairs, or maybe somebody that's as a family, all the time I see it where somebody's got some special needs child, and I think, man, what I wouldn't give to just go over there and say, we serve a God that can heal your child. Can I pray for the child and God do it and Him get all the glory? Come on, somebody, that's what we want. It's not more Instagram followers, it's not more likes, it's not our own YouTube channel, it's not more money. I'm around a lot of people with a lot of money. And a lot of them, some of them are happy, but very few. So many of them are so unhappy. I have a billionaire call me a few weeks ago. Been on his multiple level yachts many times. He called me and said, I'm sitting in my truck right now. I slept in my truck last night. I'm really upset because tomorrow I'm going to be on the front of the Wall Street Journal, and I just need you to pray for me. He owns a lot of strip clubs, and he owns a lot of casinos. But he knows one thing. He's watched me on television in Palm Beach for a long time. And he knows that I'll tell people. I hear curse words in my head. I want to slap people back. And somehow in the honesty and the transparency of not pointing the finger at the people this way, but saying I'm not perfect,
but I don't want to make progress. That makes other people who say, I'm not perfect. Maybe Jesus loves me. Come on, somebody. That's why we got to go to the highways and byways and compel people to come in. Come on, somebody shout amen to this. This is why we got to reach people that are down and out, people that are lost, people that are divorced, people that are depressed. I'm not looking for church people. I'm looking for lost people. That means the whole world is ours. Let's go get them. Let's live out our barriers with purpose and power and protection and make progress. Somebody ought to shout amen. Let's cross over our Jordan. Let Jesus use us. Let's give our life to Jesus. Let's give our appetite to Jesus. Let's give our eyes to Jesus, our minds to Jesus, and say, God, not my will be done, but your will be done. Who's going with me on this thing right now? Let's fast. Let's pray. Let's turn off secular music. Let's breaking bad, and let's break it off a little bit. Say, God, I'm after you.
Thanks for joining us on our podcast today. We certainly hope it spoke to you in the same way it was speaking to us. If you enjoyed this message today, there's a few things I'd like to encourage you to do. First of all, subscribing to it. It's really easy to get these Faith Church sermons sent straight to your phone with a notification as soon as they're ready. I mean, you want that, right? Secondly, by sharing with a friend on social media, just like you might share a sale or some great restaurant, we're looking for you to share it with your friends. You never know in your network of friends who really needs this message today. And lastly, before you go, if you'll rate and review this on iTunes, it'll really help us expand our reach, help more people globally. Each time there's a positive rating, this really helps push us in front of more people. So that's what I want you to do. And if you live in the St. Louis area or West Palm Beach, come out and see us at our physical locations. If you don't, make sure you tune in to our church online. It's a real campus at faithchurch.com.